talk. I'm so happy to have once again Dr. Stephanie Senef visiting at the studio today, and she's going to be here on our next health talk, which I'm very excited to have her twice in a row. She's been on our show, I don't know, Stephanie, how many times before?
I've lost count.
Yeah, and you've also been on other shows too.
We're
so, you know, blessed to have you here on the island when you're not at MIT. So Dr. Senef is a senior research scientist at MIT, and she's really been doing such important work for health and the planet, really. So welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here again. I love Kauai.
Yes, me too. And I'm happy to be back too. I was actually for 6 weeks traveling in Tibet and China. And you just came back from China.
I did.
And we're going to talk about that. You're at a very exciting conference in Beijing on food safety and sustainable agriculture.
That's right.
On the 25th and 26th of July. And you just returned. And we're so happy to be able to talk about it. Sounds like an incredible conference.
Absolutely incredible. By far the most amazing conference I've ever attended in my life.
Really?
Really, really incredible.
And you were invited to speak there.
Yes, and there were only about maybe, I don't know, maybe half a dozen people invited from the United States. They had 30 people from around the world. Australia, South America, Europe, Russia, and of course people from China, so just a few Americans, and I was very honored to be selected among those few. And of course the rest of them are all extremely amazing people. Everybody that I met is amazing, and these are such dedicated people who are often working on a shoestring budget to understand what's wrong with food today, and then trying to get their message out as best they can. And I'm extremely impressed with China for organizing this. I mean, I'm very disappointed that something like this is not happening in America.
So for those listeners who haven't heard you on the show or on some of the other shows before, let's just explain a little bit about, you know, your latest research over the last couple of years and how you got into this field.
It's quite a change, actually, from what I had done before. So I'm now committed to working full-time on this topic of basically food safety, because I recognize that we're headed for a cliff if we don't do something drastic. So we really need to get this message out. And we have to wrestle food back from the agrochemical industry. We have to go back, and you guys know this well, here in Kauai, so much work is being done here on organic, sustainable farming, and I'm just so delighted to see it. This is so special, what you're doing here. And I would love to see a time when Kauai could actually provide its own food, you know, and not have to depend on the toxic food that's coming in from elsewhere. That would be really great. So my work, as only in the last 2 years, actually, which was motivated by a talk I heard from Don Huber. He was one of the people who was at this conference, and I was really getting to meet with him for the first time at this conference. I was there to hear his talk, 2 hours, 2 years ago in Indianapolis, and that changed my life. I basically came back and dropped everything else I was doing and spent full time studying glyphosate. Glyphosate, some of you probably don't know what that is, but you probably know what Roundup is. And glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup. And Roundup is a pervasive herbicide.
Right, and that's the most used herbicide.
Yes, on the planet, and it's used especially in the United States. And that's in part because we have all these Roundup ready crops, the corn, the soy, the canola, the alfalfa, tobacco, and cotton. All have the majority of the crop in America is Roundup ready, which means that when you spray Roundup on the crop, it doesn't die. But it soaks it up. It doesn't actually break it down. So the Roundup gets into the food and is extremely toxic to humans, even though Monsanto assures us that it's not. So it's an extremely dangerous situation. Also, people can go down to the hardware store and buy it to go kill the weeds on their property. They don't know it's toxic either, so they can use it carelessly and get sick because of that as well.
Oh, it's everywhere. And then, of course, on our island, we have all of This chemical and that they're using everywhere,
yes,
right? On golf courses, in public areas,
right,
condos, and whatever they're using on the GMO test fields.
Oh, I know, and I'm sure they're using lots and lots of Roundup. In fact, Gary Hoosier tried to find out how much they were using, and they refused to tell him. Mm. It's not restricted, ironically, because it's not considered toxic, as toxic as the other ones, but it's been tested, and I've read papers that have shown that it was the most toxic by far among the chemicals that were tested. When they
wow.
tested a variety of different herbicides and insecticides, glyphosate was the most toxic. They were very surprised because it was supposed to be non-toxic. People use it as a reference to measure against the others, and then they find out that it goes off the charts.
Mm-hmm. And so you were saying that was it a year or a year and a half ago you heard Don Huber talk about...
2 years ago, yeah.
2 years ago. You heard him.
Yes.
And you...
Feels like a lifetime ago.
It really motivated
yes.
you to work on this issue, huh?
Yes, it did. And of course,
research.
I came back from that and hooked up with Anthony Samsel, who's an expert on toxic chemicals in the environment. He's retired, but he still does consulting work on toxic waste sites.
Mm-hmm.
A walking encyclopedia. He knows so much about all these toxic chemicals. And he had zeroed in on glyphosate as being very, very toxic and had done a lot of research. So he and I had to play catch-up to learn everything that he was teaching me about, and then we would write papers together. So we've written two, we've published two papers, and we have a third one coming that I'm very excited about.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that more. But let's go into, you know, the conference and what was so inspiring for you
yes.
at the conference.
Well, it was wonderful, first of all, to be able to meet firsthand all these people whom I'd met through the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been emailing among many of the people who were at the conference, and we've become friends. But we didn't have a face associated with the email message, so it's a very dry kind of relationship. And
right.
it was really so wonderful. You felt like you already knew them well when you met them because you had so much in common. It was just so beautiful. And to be able to have breakfast with these people and talk to them, you know, and of course we had so much to share. So it was just incredibly, I was just emotionally over the top the entire time.
Oh, wonderful. And one of them was Vandana Shiva.
Yes, she gave the keynote, and she was, of course, her usual marvelous self.
She is such a
so inspiring.
Powerful, intelligent woman.
Yes, and
incredible
she,
speaker.
She is. And, of course, she talked about food sovereignty and seed sovereignty. People have, hopefully, some of our hearers have heard her talk here, because she gave a wonderful speech here, which I've listened to multiple times.
I feel like, you know, she really got the movement on our island mobilized.
Mm-hmm.
We had so many people come out. They had, you know, the room was completely filled.
Jammed,
and they
yes.
had another room. Do you know, Tracy, how many thousands of people came?
I heard it was the largest group.
It was
ever.
The largest group that had ever been in the War Memorial Convention Hall.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we actually had a head count because there were so many people that were out in the other rooms, and they had TV broadcasting so people could see. So I'm not sure. I think that hall holds, I'm not positive, I think it holds about 1,200, but that's
mm-hmm.
just in seats, and it was like standing room only with an overflow, and even outside, so I don't know if they ever actually had a head count, but
mm-hmm.
anyway, it was a very huge turnout, and it was a very diverse group of people, which was really exceptionally fantastic.
Yeah, and I can't remember when it was, maybe January, February, but there was an important event, and she actually sent a video.
Mm.
I feel like she's really supporting
she
us.
She really
here.
Is, and it's so wonderful
yeah,
that she's doing that.
Did you talk to her about that?
We didn't specifically talk about that, but...
Uh-huh.
But I did get to talk to her, and, you know, we're scheming how to move forward and do more. I mean, the community is so tight, trying to plan how to solve this problem. It's an enormous problem that really has to be solved very soon.
Thank you, Stephanie.
And she talked, of course, about the suicide farmers, 300,000 suicides so far in India, and mostly in the cotton belt.
300,000.
300,000 farmer suicides.
Cotton growers,
because
mostly.
They adopted this BT cotton, which is toxic, and then it becomes really expensive because it doesn't really work, and you can't reuse the
seed.
This is a
Monsanto
seed.
Yes,
mm-hmm. you have to always buy from Monsanto, and they get more and more in debt,
mm-hmm.
and then they feel horrible because they can't support their family, and then they just kill themselves. And this is happening in droves. It's so sad.
Mm. And she's really been really working hard on this movement there.
And she has hopes to do things through the legal process, you know, to say that it is illegal to do what they're doing. And I hope she can make that work. And that would be so great. Because it does seem to me it should be illegal to be able to patent life, you know. Plus, these genes don't actually stick around. So one thing you can argue is that it has mutated into something that you didn't patent, and therefore it should be no longer valid, you know. So these kinds of interesting arguments from a scientific standpoint that might derail these patents. The patents are crazy that you, that Monsanto can take a patent out on a seed, you know, because they have introduced a, what I would call a very big defect in the seed by introducing this gene from some strange foreign species, which, and of course we had Mae Wan Ho, who is there also, and I've been communicating with her, and she is an expert on this whole thing of gene transfer and all the possibilities that could happen. You know, you sort of have the people who believe in it say, well, what could go bad? It's just the same as what they do already with, you know, finding, making exotic dogs and things like that. They do a lot of sort of genetic manipulation through selection. And they're saying, well, this is almost the same thing, but it's not true at all. And this is what Mae Wan Ho talked about in her talk. She's amazing as well. And I've read many of her papers. She has the site called ISIS, I-S-I-S. They have wonderful articles on there. And then she and her husband have recently created a new thing called The Spark, T-H-E-S-P-A-R-C. That's also on the web. And they're posting their papers that come out. As they come out, they post up. You can go get a copy of the paper there that are selected for this whole issue of food safety. So you can really find it as a one-stop shopping place to find interesting new research is coming out on the topic of food safety. And her husband talked also at the conference about this website.
Do you want to talk about her work and the gene transfer work now, or do you want to talk a little more about Vandana Shiva? What do you feel?
Yeah, maybe I'll move on to Mae Wan Ho.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The gene transfer work. I mean, that's very fascinating to me, and I'm really struggling to play catch-up in that space because it's a very complex. Part of the problem with the anti-GMO movement, I think, is that the story is very complicated. I feel there's a much easier story to talk about the pesticides, and that's what I've been doing, that the GMO promotes the increased use of pesticides, which is extremely clear because you see that Roundup has been going up astronomically in the United States right in step with the increased use of the GMO Roundup-ready crops. It's a no-brainer to say that's happening. Then you just have to prove that Roundup is toxic, and now you can link it to the GMOs. But there's a worse problem because the GMOs themselves are also toxic. And this is something that is much harder to understand and requires much deeper science that also costs a lot of money. And nobody wants to fund it because these guys don't want us to find out that it's bad.
Right.
So this becomes extremely difficult to solve. And then anyone who is understanding it, such as Mae Wan Ho, has to explain it at a level that the general population can get it. So that's also difficult, you know?
I can imagine.
Yeah, and it's so fascinating. But she's been showing, and other people have been showing, that these genes that they insert, first of all, they insert them randomly. So they're not in any specific place in the DNA. The genes are a bacterial gene. The Monsanto folks found this bacterium that didn't die when it was exposed to glyphosate. So they figured out it probably has a gene that protects it. And indeed, it does. It has a gene that makes a huge amount of the protein that glyphosate disrupts. And so it you end up soaking up the glyphosate and not dying. But they thought, well, this is great because then we don't have to worry about exposing the plant when we're killing the weeds. We can just spray the plant, which is such a dumb idea if you think that the substance is at all toxic to humans. So they assure us that it's not, and therefore there's no problem.
Right.
So the problem, of course, is that it really is toxic to humans, and they've been hiding that fact through very clever maneuvering of the way the research is done. The experiments they have conducted many years ago, you know, they basically say, well, we proved it's not toxic 30 years ago. I'm getting back to the glyphosate, and I always end up doing that. But I'll go back to the RNA, because what Mae Wan Ho has discovered is that these genes don't just sit there. They stick them into some very vulnerable place where genes can easily leave, so that the gene ends up hopping over to some other vulnerable place. And after a few generations, you're going to get a very different plant. And you might very well lose the resistance to glyphosate, but you might also gain something absolutely bizarre. And you might gain something that could actually reach across the aisle to the human genes and reprogram them. So it's really fascinating that these are sort of regulator genes that can change the behavior in some completely random way of some gene in our cells, they actually don't get, they've shown that the RNA gets into the blood, doesn't necessarily get digested. So Monsanto argued, well, it would all be digested anyway, so there's no big deal, you know. But that's not the case either. So it's basically all of these things that they're saying turn out not to be true.
Mm.
And so the problem becomes very, you can easily imagine that horrible things could happen. And we have really strange diseases like Morgellons. I don't know if anyone's heard of Morgellons disease, but it's a really strange disease where these kinds of fibers grow in your skin. And I guess you have a lot of irritation, and it's a pretty nasty disease from what I understand. And people have analyzed those fibers and found out that they look like cellulose. So cellulose is something that is in a plant.
It's in a plant.
Yeah,
right.
So you might imagine that somehow some plant gene got turned on in your body and caused you to make this cellulose. I mean, it's just totally bizarre stuff that's happening.
Yeah, and you know, this that it's random, and
yes.
I have no idea.
Unpredictable.
You know, how the genes are going to react.
Yeah, totally unpredictable, and so you can't, there's no accountability there, you know.
Now, you were telling me last night on the phone that, was it Maewon Ho did some research with hamsters?
It wasn't Maewon Ho, it was Russian, actually, a Russian woman. And that, I mean, I had heard about this work beforehand, of course, I was delighted to meet her as well. She's wonderful. And
she was at the conference.
Yes, and she gave a talk about the hamsters, which is really, really scary. And apparently she lost her job because of this work. You know, this is what happened, is that you get attacked if you dare to do work that's going to show that these things are toxic. She exposed the first generation of hamsters to glyphosate, and the third generation of hamsters was sterile.
Wow.
So only the first generation was exposed, and the third generation was sterile. And she saw in each generation a loss of reproductive capability. And, of course, we have a huge problem with sterility or fertility problems in the United States,
yes.
Something like 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And in China also, the infertility rate has gone up from 3% in 1975 to 15% today.
Wow.
So, I mean, China is really starting to worry also. They're seeing huge increases in autism, Parkinson's disease, infertility, starting to see obesity and diabetes, all the things that we've been enjoying for many years now. They're starting to see them in step with importing huge amounts of GMO Roundup Ready soy. So this was, of course, a huge topic for them. They're very concerned. I mean, you can almost call it food terrorism on our part. To be selling them food that makes their population sick,
right,
is a kind of a...
Right.
A war, an act of
it
war
is.
In a way.
It
and,
is.
And so for them, it's much... For us, we have Monsanto in Missouri. It's like, you know, our home base, and our country wants Monsanto to succeed, you know, whereas in China, the perspective is very, very different. These foreigners are selling us this food that's making us sick, you know. That's going to be a much easier message to sell, even to the government, to say, hey, we don't want this anymore. So I have a lot of hope from China. China is a really big country, so if they make a stand against it, it will have a huge impact.
It will have a huge impact. And it's interesting, you know, just being in China for 6 weeks, because, you know, they are Tibet. you can't get organic food unless you're buying it locally from, let's say, the nomads. Or, you know, very, very local, you can get some organic. But in terms of, you know, going in a restaurant, I mean, they don't have organic food. So who actually sponsored this conference?
Yeah, so it was Professor Gu, and she's a professor at a university there. I actually don't know which one, I'm embarrassed to admit, but it's she was really wonderful.
But she's not part of the government.
She's a professor, yes. Mm-hmm. And but there was also Chen Yiwan, whom we call Cheney. He was the person who first contacted us. I think he might have been responsible for choosing people from America to come. And he had been corresponding with us, the Americans, for some time beforehand, negotiating, trying to get us to come and, you know, seeing if we could make it. And they also paid our way, by the way. I mean, they paid the airfare and they paid for the hotels. And they had organic food brought in.
Really?
From way up north. It was so wonderful. We met the people who provided the food, and they were Buddhist monks from way up north. And
They
hand-carried the food on the train and brought it down for like 7 or 8 hour train ride. So it was really, really special.
That is so special.
It was so special and so touching to see that they were doing, you know, really looking after us in that respect. Because they knew we were coming for food safety, and they felt we had to have safe food while we were there.
Wow.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
And Chen Yiguan does have a history with the government, so that's a connection to the government. So it was a professor at a university and then also a connection to the government through Chen Yiguan.
Mm-hmm. So you had organic vegetables.
Yes, wonderful organic vegetables.
Were they serving Chinese-style food?
Or? Yes, it was many different Chinese stir-fried vegetables. And, of course, there was tofu, which is a traditional Chinese
food. And that
food.
Was organic?
Noodles, everything was organic, yes.
Wow. Unbelievable. Did they have meat there, too?
They actually did a vegetarian diet, but they had eggs. And they had a tiny bit of meat, but mostly it was vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important that people understand that when they're buying commercial meat,
yes,
they're buying, they think, okay, well, they're not, a cow can't be, at this time, is not being genetically modified.
Right.
But everything that the cow is eating.
Yes, and in fact, the cow is eating a very high level of glyphosate in its food, and the animals are getting sick. And this was another big topic of the conference. We had people who came from Europe and from America and from Australia, and even from South America, all of whom talked about the issues with the animals. And these are the animals we're eating, and they're getting sick. In fact, we had the father of Leah Dunham. Leah Dunham wrote a book called The Two-Headed Pig, which I've talked about here, but America's Two-Headed Pig, which I've talked about here before. Wonderful book that I read. Her dad was at the conference, and he is the veterinarian that she talks about in her book.
Oh, interesting.
It's really, really neat. And and he had been treating these pigs. He in Iowa, veterinarian, so his main job was to deal with the health of the pigs on the hog farms. And, of course, these are CAFOs with hideous conditions, and they're eating this GMO Roundup Ready corn and soy. That's their main diet. Very high. The U.S. has a much higher cutoff for the regulations of how much glyphosate can be in the animal feed compared to the human feed. So they're getting really high levels of glyphosate, and they're getting really sick. And they talked about, so we had wonderful talks by various people, as I said, from around the world on the issues with these farm animals. The pigs, for example, there have been a lot of deformed pigs being born, mm-hmm. and they showed pictures of these pigs. You know, mm-hmm. two-headed pigs, that's literally a pig with two heads. That actually mm-hmm. is happening, mm. as well as other kinds of bizarre things, you know.
Mm.
And like even only one eye, you know, mm-hmm. just really, really strange mm-hmm. conditions. And they had a study that tested the deformed pigs and the pigs that were dying at birth, because there's also a very high stillbirth problem with the pigs. And all of the ones that died at birth tested positive for glyphosate. And then 60%, I think, of the ones that were deformed also tested positive for glyphosate. So they're linking these birth defects to the glyphosate.
And humans are eating.
Yes. Well, it was really striking because we had some people who showed pictures of animals that were deformed, and then we had people who showed pictures of humans who were deformed from South America in particular, the children who were being born, to the people who are living around the GMO Roundup Ready soy fields. This, you know, it's really sad in Argentina because they used to have mm-hmm. grass-fed beef,
mm-hmm.
and they switched over from grass-fed beef. Huge numbers of acres have been switched over to GMO Roundup Ready soy, and the little villages around the soy fields, everybody's getting really, really sick. Children are being born with deformities. So when they show the pictures of the animals and they show the pictures of the humans, and you can immediately see that it's the same thing, just mm-hmm. from the deformity that's happening. It's this certain characteristic.
And they're aerial spraying the glyphosate.
It's
to grow
just
the,
awful. Very scary in Argentina. We had several people coming from South America, all of whom talked about the toxicity of these chemicals that these kids are being exposed to. And, of course, children are much more vulnerable than adults. Children and elderly are really vulnerable to these chemicals.
Well, I think they started these fields in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah, I mean, it was some kind of international agreement where they were forced, the government was forced.
Really?
Their hand was forced, I think, by the international, that they would be able to get the loans if they would agree to, you know, because our government works very closely with the chemical industry and really
yes.
promotes it around the world, even really
yes.
handcuffs people if they refuse to go along. I just feel so depressed about this. I used to be very proud to be an American, and I'm not anymore. I'm ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really sad.
It's really sad. So this has been going on, you know, for decades now in Argentina.
Yes.
And from what I've, you know, seen with the studies that I've read, there's so many birth defects.
Right.
Happening.
Oh, it's just awful. I know I've seen pictures before, and it was very striking at the conference. I saw some that I hadn't seen before, and it just turns your stomach. I mean.
And we have increased birth defects on our island.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an incredible story that I've talked to you about before in Washington State at Yakima, Washington, where they had several cases of an extraordinary rare birth defect, which is basically a child's born without a brain. They had several cases of this. Usually there'd be one in the entire country, and they had like 20.
Wow.
Yeah, and so they started investigating. Of course, they had all these chemicals they were using, and they studied a whole bunch of them. And they didn't study glyphosate because it's harmless. But on the other hand, glyphosate has been shown to cause the exact same defect in frogs.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't study it because they said, well, it's harmless. And that's the thing. People are not thinking to look at glyphosate. There was actually a paper that just came out from California where they saw that kids that lived near agricultural fields had an increased risk to autism and all the other kinds of childhood diseases like ADHD, you know, sort of all these things that we're seeing increasing in our population today were increased, and they were increased proportional to how close you were to these agricultural fields. They never mentioned glyphosate, but I suspect it's probably the most important chemical in those fields as causing the autism.
Well, autism has increased
dramatically.
Dramatically, like 500-fold.
Yes, it's ridiculous. There was one in 10,000 in the early 1970s, and now it's one in 68 in the latest measure of 12-year-olds. If you look at the kids being born today, I would imagine it's much lower than that, much worse than one in 68.
Mm-hmm. And not only are these plants laden with glyphosate, but other chemicals as
yes,
well.
Yes, that's right. Well, I, in fact, I was tipped off by this guy, Chun Yi-Wan, who told me I should be looking into hexane. He mentioned hexane, which I didn't know anything about it at the time, but I looked into it, and I prepared, in fact, in my talk, I talked some about hexane, because I think it works synergistically with glyphosate to cause harm.
And in humans and animals.
In humans, yes. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when you start to look at how we process our food, so you get the soybean, and it's a GMO Roundup Ready soybean, so it's almost guaranteed to have Roundup in it. And then you process it by putting in this hexane, which is an organic solvent. And the hexane basically breaks down the cell wall, which allows the fat to be released and makes it easy to separate the fat from the protein. Then you have like these protein bars, you know, and I think I can't remember when protein bars started to become popular, but I'm thinking maybe it was around the year 2000, because when I studied it, what I found out was that it was in 2000 that we had, you can look at data from the U.S. government, which I've done. I talked about it in my talk, actually, at this meeting. In 2000, we had a very large growth right around that year in the amount of soybean oil that we consumed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it went, I'm guessing that it went hand in hand with an increased use of soy protein.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of selling tofu, you're selling soy protein bars, or you have these soy drinks, you know, high-protein drinks.
Right.
And then soybean oil, which is about, you know, one of the cheapest oils you can get these days.
Mm-hmm.
GMO Roundup Ready soybean oil and GMO Roundup Ready soy protein, both of which are toxic foods. So if you're eating these protein bars, you're probably getting sick.
Right. Or even the soy protein powders.
Exactly. That's what it is. It's those powders, and then they're put into all these different, you know, processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I found sort of these, like, Ensure, these kinds of energy drinks and whatnot. And when you look at the ingredients on those things, it's unbelievable. It goes on like 100 things long.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all chemicals. There's, like, no food in it, you know?
And terrible oils and fats in them.
Oh, they're just awful. And
right,
it's not that fat is bad for you, but these particular oils are bad for you because you've got the glyphosate and the hexane. And the hexane opens up the cell walls. This is exactly what your body needs to make the glyphosate really toxic, because that's the whole thing with Roundup. And this is another thing that was talked about at the conference. They add surfactants to the glyphosate to make it much more toxic to the plants so that it could be a more effective weed killer.
Mm-hmm.
And these surfactants are very similar to this hexane because they're going to allow the glyphosate to get in.
They do this in vaccinations, too.
They do. That's absolutely the case. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead.
And they allow it to get in. And that makes it much more toxic to the plant. Well, hello, it makes it much more toxic to us as well.
Right.
And they don't study it in that context. They actually have claimed that, you know, we only want to study the active ingredient. When Monsanto, quote-unquote, proved the glyphosate was safe, they didn't put in the adjuvants, you know, and the surfactants that are there in the product.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this guy, Seralini, and I want to talk about Seralini, too, because he had a representative at the meeting as well.
Mm.
And he's done fantastic studies showing that Roundup is much more toxic than glyphosate. And this person who came to our talk said that Roundup is 1,000 times more toxic than glyphosate.
Because of these other additives.
Yes, both they're toxic by themselves, and they make the glyphosate more toxic because they allow it in.
Right.
And the hexane would do that, too. So you're just like, you know, it's just incredible to think about what people are eating.
And so much of soy comes from China. And I have heard that even the organic soy, even though it's supposedly growing organically, they use the hexane to process it. And so, you know, there are a lot of soy milks, you know.
Right.
I'm not remembering the name of them, but, like, what is the most popular soy milk?
I don't ever drink.
Oh, yeah. Silk.
Right.
Yeah, and so you can get organic silk now,
yes,
but it's being grown in China and processed in China.
With less regulation.
And so it has...
It's very scary to get organic from China.
I heard that it has... That they're using the hexane for processing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's so disturbing.
It is.
Yes.
It is. So you mentioned somebody else that you
Seralini. Yes. And so this guy was Nicholas Defarge.
That we've seen pictures on the internet,
yes,
right?
Yes, the rats with the huge mammary tumors.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, other people are really showing
the
connection.
So he was there.
He wasn't there.
Oh,
I think
he
had a person who came to represent his group, Nicholas Defarge. He gave a wonderful talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked both about their findings. They've written many papers. They're really the premier group that's actually studying the toxicity of these chemicals and of the GMOs as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this long-term, full-life study of these rats and had all kinds of issues come up. And they were giving them very small. Nicholas DeCage, and I hadn't realized, Defarge, said that he's a member of the team. He's on the list of the authors of that paper that got retracted. There's really good news about that paper because it got republished about a month ago in a new journal, open access journal.
So it got replaced, because I don't know if everybody realizes this, but he did publish that journal. It had the pictures of the mammary tumors, and then they
hired someone from Monsanto and put it on the executive board, put that person on the executive board. They worked really hard to get that paper retracted.
Retracted means, people who don't know, it's not valued.
Yeah, usually a paper gets retracted because the author has cheated, you know, or they have, plagiarism that someone else actually wrote the same thing before, or that they had already published this before and it's being republished. There's various reasons why papers could be retracted.
Mm-hmm.
None of those reasons applied to this paper.
Right.
And they retracted it on the grounds that it didn't have adequate statistical significance, meaning that they didn't use enough rats to get like a really solid P equals 0.001 kind of result. You know, they had a barely significant result. It's a ridiculous reason to retract it, because in fact you would have to retract all the papers, all the studies that have been done on glyphosate. They would have to be retracted by that same grounds, because they always use a very small number of rats. He didn't use any fewer than what they typically require for these studies.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So there's absolutely no grounds on which it should have been retracted.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
there was an uproar. You know,
Maiwan
Ho, whom I met at this conference and who is so brilliant, she spearheaded this letter, which I signed and lots of people signed, and I would be boycotting the journal, the entire, all the journals that are under this Elsevier publisher. There's a huge number of journals, and I'm quite happy to boycott them because I'm really trying to boycott all the mainstream journals in general.
Mm-hmm.
But
anyway, I just have to do a quick station ID. I was supposed to do it 7 minutes ago, so I didn't want to interrupt you. Anyway, you are listening to Kauai Community Radio. You're tuned in to Health Talk with Dr. Donna Kaplan and Dr. Stephanie Seneff. I've had a few people call wanting to go on there. We will open the phones before the show is over. I did have a nurse who called listening, and she just wanted people to know that here on Kauai, as a nurse, she knows for a fact that there are 10 people living on Kauai who have contracted Lou Gehrig's disease.
Mm.
And she said that is a huge number of people for this small population.
Yes.
And so she was wanted people to realize that that people are being affected in very serious ways.
Yes.
And once again, that she personally knows of 10 people who are affected with Lou Gehrig's, and I know at least one of them has passed away. So anyway, she just wanted listeners to know that there is certainly enough evidence showing that people are suffering from toxicity here in
yes,
various forms.
Yes, mm-hmm. And thank you for that input, for that caller who brought that to us, yes. Where were we?
Okay.
I just remember Tracy
right.
was flagging
Sarah Leaney.
Nicholas.
Yes. So Nicholas Defarge talked about 0.1 parts per billion. That is incredibly, incredibly tiny. 0.1 parts per billion of glyphosate in water is enough to induce growth of breast cancer cells. So it's really coming out with these huge mammary tumors in these rats. Mm. And then also breast cancer is really a big deal. In the U.S., we're getting, young women are getting breast cancer in more and more numbers lately. I think it's definitely tied to the glyphosate.
Now, you talk to me about Zen Honeycutt.
Yes.
Who's the Moms Across America founder.
Right.
And she tested blood and breast milk, or just breast milk?
Breast milk
breast
and
milk.
Urine.
And urine.
Yes.
And did she...
For several mothers. So she's amazing. I was so thrilled to meet her at this meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so neat that they invited her, because her credentials are she's a mom. You know,
right.
It's not like she has a PhD in
right.
some obvious thing.
Uh-huh.
So it was really terrific that they invited her. And she gave a wonderful talk, and she talked about all the different diseases in the United States and the very high infertility rate. So we are number one in mortality on the first day after birth. We are the worst among the developed nations.
I've read that.
It's
Can you
incredible.
That?
Yeah,
the
we
worst.
Are the absolute worst.
Of infant mortality after birth.
Yes, on the first day.
Yeah.
And she pointed that out. So she talked about a lot of the statistics of the U.S. Mm-hmm. Being sick. She took the initiative, and she actually also was tremendously influenced by Anthony Samsel, because she went to his house,
mm-hmm.
and she did a wonderful interview with him. You can find that on the web. She did a great job with it. She added some more material, too, to back it up. She did a really great job with this interview. She also just interviewed Nicholas Defarge. I just watched her interview with him. It's only like 5 minutes long. I just watched it this morning. It just came out.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got a wonderful website, and she has become so passionate about glyphosate, just like me.
Mm-hmm.
As a consequence of talking to Anthony, just like me also, mm-hmm. so we have that in common. She's a mother of a child who was diagnosed with autism, and she mm-hmm. put him on an organic diet and cured him.
Mm-hmm.
So she has dramatic personal experience to maintain
mm-hmm.
that glyphosate causes autism.
Mm-hmm. And she was able to cure him with an organic diet.
She cured him with an organic diet. Mm-hmm. It was really, truly amazing. And she showed some things about her son as well. And so it was a personal talk that she gave.
Beautiful.
And she did this, took the initiative with this effort to collect breast milk and urine from the mothers who were part of her organization. Several of them contributed. And Anthony was involved with the testing. And they found about 30% of them came back with positive tests for glyphosate in the breast milk. And the highest number was 1,600 times as high as the limit of glyphosate in Europe in water.
Wow.
1,600 times as high.
This was in the breast milk or in the urine?
In the breast milk.
Wow.
Really shocking. And these people who were being tested were generally being conscientious about food.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were people who cared.
Interesting.
So you can't imagine if you just took someone who was eating all these protein bars, you know, what kind of levels they would have.
Right,
in
or
their
fast
breast milk.
Food.
And you can't just, you know, have the soy formula. Either the soy formula, of course, is extremely toxic, and that's not labeled, you know. I mean, you have to, I guess you could probably get organic soy formula, but most of the soy formula that the kids are being fed, if they're not being nursed, is probably worse, you know, because it's probably coming from GMO Roundup Ready. So.
I've seen infants so ill on soy formula.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, unbelievably ill.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to put a baby on formula, the soy is not the choice.
Yes, and I know there's papers that show that it increases by a lot the risk of seizures in kids with autism. I have a paper on that that I've talked about before.
So I think you mentioned that Professor Gu, who hosted the Beijing conference, that it's a her, right?
Yes.
Her son has autism
yes,
as well.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And that's probably what's inspired her to take on the initiative of mm-hmm. hosting these conferences.
Now, you were doing a lot of research on autism.
Yes.
Before you got into glyphosate, right?
Yes, I was seeking. You know, I knew there was something in the environment that was causing it, and I was determined to find out what it was. And I went on a 5-year journey before I even thought to look at Roundup.
Mm.
And I have looked at other things, and certainly aluminum. I've identified aluminum as another serious contributor to autism. I think it works synergistically with glyphosate to cause harm. I talked about that in my talk as well at this meeting,
mm-hmm.
How the glyphosate enables the aluminum both to get in past the gut barrier and to be taken up by the cells. They really work synergistically. So I think the aluminum, which many of the vaccines contain aluminum.
Many.
Yes. And
even if they don't have mercury,
that's
they
right.
have aluminum.
And so people have been all focused on the mercury. Mercury, of course, is also causative in autism, but I think mm-hmm. the aluminum might be the bigger problem, more because just like glyphosate, it's not on the radar screen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's also much more pervasive in the vaccine. So what I was going to say about this year 2000, mm-hmm. we had a huge increase in the in the consumption of added oil, added vegetable oil, which was mostly soybean oil.
And probably, I mean, when you look at packaged food, it says soybean oil and or cottonseed oil.
Right, which is probably worse.
And right.
They're both GMO Roundup Ready.
And cotton isn't even, they're both GMO.
Mm.
Cotton isn't even grown for consumption.
I know.
Consumption.
Yeah. No, the cottonseed oil sounds really scary. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the cheapest oil. So if you...
But sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, they would use the cottonseed if they wanted to save money on the product.
Right.
But this rapid rise in these oils coincides with a rapid rise in the number of mentions of things related to children's issues in development, developmental delay, autism, and anxiety. Anxiety is becoming a big problem with children. I looked at those three items. Mentions in the VARS database. The VARS database is a database of adverse event reporting. Reports of adverse events to vaccines.
Right.
And there's a huge rise at 2000 in the counts of the number of events that mention these childhood problems, the developmental delay, the autism, and the anxiety.
And
at the same time,
I just want to mention quickly that these are only the reported adverse effects.
They estimate, I mean, they don't know, but it's at least 10 times as many mm-hmm. actual adverse effects
right.
as the ones that are reported.
Go ahead, please.
And at the same time, there's that same high rise in the amount of aluminum that's in the vaccines
mm-hmm.
Over that same time period. So all these things are going up very sharply at the year 2000
mm-hmm.
in step.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't prove that it's connected, but it suggests that it is.
I think it was 1999 when they finally took mercury out of
yes.
a lot of the childhood vaccinations.
That's right. They took the mercury out.
But not all of them.
They took the mercury out, and the autism rates went up, and they said, see, it's not the mercury. But what they
right.
didn't do was they chose it exactly this time when they increased the amount of aluminum in the vaccines,
wow.
and there was all this issue with the soy,
mm-hmm.
the soy oils. So those things compensated for the mercury.
Now, I want to get more into, you know, the correlations with diseases from glyphosate and, you know, more about what you've learned over the last 2 years.
And right.
Did you want to mention first about Judy Carman from Australia?
Yes.
She was there.
She was there,
mm-hmm.
and she had been an author on a paper that was with farmers in Iowa. She's
mm-hmm.
from Australia, and they did a really nice paper that showed gut dysbiosis. So the pigs were getting inflamed gut very, very clearly from eating the GMO food versus the organic control. They had a controlled experiment, and they showed tremendous problems with the gut, also a swollen uterus in the females, which
wow.
was suggestive of some kind of reproductive issues.
Wow. Jeffrey Smith was there.
Jeffrey Smith was there, and he's, of course, the author of Genetic Roulette and
mm-hmm.
Seeds of Deception.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a very active person in the anti-GMO movement
mm-hmm.
for many years.
And they invited Nancy Swanson,
yes.
but she wasn't able to go.
She wasn't able to go. And that's really for health issues, because she's actually isolated herself on an island off the coast of the Pacific because she has extreme sensitivity to toxic chemicals in the environment, so she won't travel. But she's brilliant. She's a physicist, and she's been collecting all these data on the correlations, which are absolutely stunning, between
mm-hmm.
glyphosate usage on corn and soy and all these diseases. So you can make a big list. So she gets the correlations, and I do the research to try to understand how that makes sense.
So you're working together.
We're working very closely together, and we're hoping to do a paper together. We haven't yet. I've been using her pictures wonderfully. I've been putting them into my papers. She's given me total permission to do
Aww.
That. But we're now talking about writing a paper together, so that will be really exciting.
Yes.
So I do want to make a quick announcement. Coming up in about 13 minutes will be One World Radio with Richard. And also, Dr. Stephanie Seneff, could you please give out your website?
Yes.
People wanted your website.
Yes, good. So it's not that easy to remember, but it's people, P-E-O-P-L-E, dot CSAIL, C-S-A-I-L. That stands for Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, dot MIT, dot edu /SENEFF. That's my website, and I have a lot of, it's a very dull-looking website, but I have a lot of materials there. I have slides from various talks and papers and also essays.
I'm going to have to ask you to say that again just because I'm having problems with it now, so I'm sure other people
yeah.
are.
And also you can really just type my name.
You can just okay. Google her,
even
her name.
Even Senef alone would be enough.
A lot.
Yeah, okay. You just type Senef, S-E-N-E-F-F.
E-F-F, S-E-N-E-F-F.
Yeah, and you'll also find YouTube videos and radio interviews. I've done a lot of stuff.
Okay, so just Google
thank you.
Dr. Stephanie Senef,
yes.
or just Senef, that's S-E-N-E-F-F.
It's a rare name, so I think you'll find my materials just by okay. doing the last name.
Now, quick question, because the phone keeps ringing. Are you open to having a caller or not?
I think we will. Let's just talk a little bit about Stephanie's research. I think that's really important that we...
I mean, there's two people calling right now. We only have about 8 minutes, so
yeah.
we take a call. I mean, I just...
We'll take a couple minutes to talk about lactobacillus, right? That's what you want to do.
Well, I want to talk about lactobacillus and your latest research,
yes.
and also the basics that you found out. But first, what are the diseases that have been highly correlated with glyphosate?
It's a large list. Mm-hmm. Autism, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, pancreatic cancer, thyroid cancer, various gut disorders, Crohn's disease, celiac disease, inflammatory gut, diabetes, obesity.
Mm-hmm. And these have been well correlated in the research.
I've been explaining them. Basically, this gives me a list of diseases to focus on to try to explain why would glyphosate cause that, given my knowledge of what glyphosate does to biological systems. And a lot of it's making sense. It's really helping me to figure out, for example, Parkinson's disease. I'm very happy about that. I feel that I understand what's causing Parkinson's disease.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's just in the last couple of months.
It's going to be part of our Anthony and my new paper.
You've come to that understanding. Great.
Yes.
Let's talk about the basics about
glyphosate.
Yes.
In so the
body.
Yes, the huge issue is that it harms the bacteria. So they argue that it's not safe, that it's not harmless to humans because it interferes with a biological pathway that we don't have.
And we have beneficial bacteria in our gut.
Yes.
It's so important.
They're incredibly important. People are realizing that more and more now,
yes.
that they do so much for us.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be able to survive without them. And they provide all these important nutrients. And some of the important nutrients they provide are products of the pathway that glyphosate disrupts. So even if the bacteria were able to stay alive, they would still have trouble making these nutrients for us. And these are precursors, for example, to all the neurotransmitters, dopamine, adrenaline,
serotonin,
melatonin, which is what makes you sleep. So there's a lot of sleep disorder problems in the country.
Right. Also GABA, is that another?
Yes, that's right.
GABA.
Yeah. Well, GABA is related because it just that's more complicated, but it's connected. Problems
uh-huh.
with GABA is connected
mm-hmm.
through the mineral deficiencies. So the other thing it does, it chelates minerals,
mm-hmm.
and this causes mineral deficiencies in the bacteria, which is part of what causes them not to grow well.
So the glyphosate chelates, meaning it takes it out.
Yeah, it cages it so that the bacteria can't gain access to the mineral. And the minerals are absolutely essential for the bacteria to grow. The beneficial bacteria are harmed, and then that allows, and they control the pathogens. So when they can't grow, the pathogens overgrow, and you get C. difficile,
right.
which produces toxic phenols that cause a great deal of harm and that are connected to autism, for example. So
mm-hmm.
it's a massive web of interconnected
mm-hmm. and other
things.
Pathogenic bacteria as well.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Which also causes leaky gut syndrome.
That's right.
All kinds of food sensitivities.
Right, and then it disrupts this major class of enzymes called the cytochrome P450 enzymes.
Which
in
are
in the gut
liver.
And in the liver.
In the gut, too.
Yeah, and even bacterial versions of those enzymes
mm-hmm.
are disrupted, which messes up the gut bacteria's ability to do what those enzymes do, which are really important for our health. So
mm-hmm.
It all comes back. And the CYP enzyme disruption is actually a major part of the problem as well.
Right, so that's the major detoxification enzyme
yes,
in the liver.
That's right.
So the liver's getting impaired.
Yes, it's very definite. Many, many studies have shown liver problems associated with, including Zerlini's study, associated with glyphosate.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about your new research that you're finding out about manganese specifically.
Yes.
But also, is there a way to just help us understand how glyphosate causes things like brain impairment,
yes.
you know, like autism and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's? And
right. Well, a lot of that is through the manganese. This is what Anthony and I will be writing about in our new paper.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting because it glyphosate... manganese, we have a whole way of dealing with manganese. It's quite intricate. And it manganese is both toxic and essential. Many of these minerals are like that. So
mm-hmm.
the body has ways to keep them safe and to get them to the right places where they need to go safely. But glyphosate totally messes that up by caging them. So glyphosate ends up, because of its CYP enzyme disruption, it prevents the liver from releasing bile acids. And normally manganese is sent back around to the gut through the bile acids, which supplies it to the gut bacteria. Lactobacillus really depend on manganese to grow,
mm-hmm.
so the lactobacillus don't get enough manganese. And meanwhile, the liver accumulates too much because it can't get rid of it through the bile acids.
So you have deficiency in the gut and
excess in
toxicity,
the liver.
Excess in the liver.
Right, simultaneously. And then the liver gets rid of the manganese by shipping it off along the vagus nerve to the brain. So manganese is very interesting that way, that it can travel along nerves, a very unusual property.
Mm-hmm. And then the high manganese in the brain.
Yes, too much manganese in the brain stem and not enough manganese in the cerebral cortex.
Oh.
So it's really interesting. It ends up piling up in the brain stem and damaging the neurons that are essential for protecting you from Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you get Parkinson's disease, is because you have too much manganese in the substantia nigra, which produces the dopamine. So they can't produce the dopamine, you get Parkinson's disease. At the same time, you get Alzheimer's because there's not enough manganese in the cortex, and that protects the neurons from damage, the mitochondria and the neurons from damage.
So how does the deficiency of manganese in the cortex affect the development of Alzheimer's?
Yeah, both Alzheimer's and autism, by the way, have the same problem
mm-hmm.
of mitochondrial damage
mm-hmm.
due to these reactive oxygen species.
Uh-huh.
And there's an enzyme, manganese superoxide dismutase,
mm-hmm.
which soaks those up and prevents them from doing damage. So that depends on manganese. So if there's not enough manganese, then that enzyme doesn't work. And these reactive oxygen species do damage, and they kill the mitochondria. And that's a very clear connection with autism and Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, wow. Well, it's wonderful that you're getting more and more of a picture of,
yes,
of you know, how these toxicities are affecting us. And this is just so important for our health.
We're running out of time.
We have a few minutes. Is there anything else that you want to mention about the research that you're uncovering?
But quick, I just thought, you know, there's like so many people caught in wine on there. But so can I please?
Let's do some questions.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
okay.
I mean, we don't hardly really have time because.
But
I got to get out of here. I know, but nobody's on my phone this minute.
Oh.
Okay?
You chased them all off.
No, I didn't chase them off because I'm not going to let them sit there for 5 minutes. Please, I'm going to say your name again because people they want to find your website, and they're talking really fast, and so they're not able to understand. So,
well, one thing I'd like to do is make this show archived so it can be available on the KKCR website. So that would be great if we can.
That'd be great.
We can do that because this is a great show. Thank you so much,
Thank
Stephanie.
You. Okay. Thank
so
you.
Anyway, I just want to give people
yes.
how they can find you, because Stephanie's website is very long and complicated. So what you can do is Google her name, and she says you can just do her last name, which is Senef, and it's S as in Sam, E N E F F, and those are F's as in Frank. So
thank you. Should we take this caller?
I don't know, because I don't know what this caller wants, but before I pick this up, and we got to get out of here for Richard, is somebody want to know if you know anything about any kind of toxicity in oat milk.
Oat milk. I guess I'd... the oats could be sprayed with glyphosate right before the harvest, I think.
Right.
Which is something that's done to wheat, and I'm not sure if it's done to oats or not. But
Again, if it's not organic.
Yeah.
And most of the oat milk, I believe, that's available in health food stores are not organic
mm-hmm.
from what I've seen. So if it's not organic,
it's
you're
going to
have
safe.
Chemicals.
my husband and I eat 100% organic. We buy only organic food. Thank goodness here we have organic grocery stores.
Yes.
You guys are lucky in Kauai that you can get organic food.
Yes.
You have the grass-fed beef. It's wonderful.
Wonderful farmer's market.
Okay, boy question. This is actually a friend of mine, but his daughter has neurofibromatosis.
Oh my goodness.
Neurofibromatosis. Do you know what that is?
I don't. I mean, I can imagine. You might.
Well, it's when fibroids grow in the face and
head. Oh, wow.
Head.
Oh, that sounds bad.
Okay, but you don't know anything about it.
I don't, although I can imagine that it could very well be due to toxic chemicals in the environment. Do you know anything?
I work very personally, individually with people. So, there's probably some kind of genetic effect too. But, you know, as you were saying, with the research that's coming out, the genes can get changed, right?
Right, absolutely. And actually, it's a whole fascinating topic of Lamarckian evolution that I didn't mention, but that came up from Maiwan Ho's work, where the actual DNA that's mutated can get back into the germ cells, into the sperm, and actually deliver modified DNA to the next generation. That's Lamarckian. That's evolution. That's based on environmental influence.
Thank you so much. We really do
thank
have to
get the board. Thank you so much, Dr. Seneff. And we're going to have her on in 2 weeks on Health Talk Radio Show. So tune in then, and we'll try to take some callers.
Okay, great.
Thanks so much for listening to Kauai Community Radio. One World Radio coming right up.
Ahui ho.
Bye-bye.